play was A Comedy of Errors, which I think honestly I've seen like 5 times in my life.
Wow.
Like
okay.
It's the typical sort of Shakespeare in the Park kind of thing,
okay.
or you know, like that, or A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah.
Those are always put on, I feel like, or by youth theater or whatever.
Yeah,
Which it was good. It was quite entertaining. But here's my thing about Shakespeare. Every Shakespeare, I feel like Shakespearean actors all act. They all overact in the same way.
Right.
You never see Shakespeare done in a more natural kind of method acting style.
Did you ever see that movie Romeo and Juliet by Baz Luhrmann?
Was that the Leonardo DiCaprio one?
Yeah.
I think I did. But even that, I felt like people were overplaying the lines. Maybe I haven't seen it in a long time.
Maybe. I saw it the one time it came out. But I really liked it because it was like, I actually thought it was very modern.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and it might just be you put so much modern stuff in it that you almost forget
going
on.
Well, I think those are the things that people do with Shakespeare all the time. They change the costume, they change the era, you know.
Right,
but the acting is quite often the same sort of like big voice presentational style.
Right, right.
Like, here I am, lo, upon yonder hillock doth come the knave, you know. But it's never spoken in a style that people actually talk, even though the lines are written in an archaic language. But why aren't they spoken the way people talk?
I mean,
aren't they more like,
I guess the one thing that comes to mind is I remember when I was in high school we learned Shakespeare. I think I learned it 3 times. We read 3 different plays in high school. I think we started off with Romeo and Juliet freshman year, and then I think I ended up reading I forget now. Something else. And then I think senior year we read Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Julius Caesar. Okay. So maybe Julius Caesar was the middle one. And every time they'd always tell us like why, or like, you know, you would learn iambic pentameter.
Mm-hmm.
You would learn like what certain lines were doing, and like all the people, they would always tell you about the Globe Theater. You know, and how there were seats. And like, you know, these lines are catering to these people, and these lines are catering to these people, and like this is the way they would put the play on so that he can cater to all the people. You know, the rich people would sit up there, so they would say lines in such a way that said they could get them. But then they'd also have like a double meeting so the people in the front could hear them like get them. And it was maybe because what I'm saying is because we learned it in such a way that like the actors themselves, like you put on a Shakespeare play and you present it in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like it wouldn't be a Shakespeare play if you didn't do it that way. I'm just speculating.
Well, I would like to see it in a different way. Because you always see different attempts at sets, different attempts at costumes.
Right, right.
But you rarely see different attempts at presenting the actual lines.
Mm.
You know? At least I have rarely seen that.
Well, maybe you could, in your film class, when you have to get to the actor part, you could have somebody do some.
There's an idea.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Oh, that'd be actually kind of funny comedy sketch.
Like, do Hamlet's talking about suicide and be like, yeah.
And have a guy do impressions, you know, or like a next, you know, and then you would have like this director rant about how everybody always does it the same way. You know, and you'd have like 5 guys come and do it on 5 different styles, and then the last guy would do it the normal way, and they'd be like, "You're perfect." It's like, because like, oh, like I, you know, we'd rant off and off and off, and they ended up with the exact same thing. Because it's like, well, in the end, unfortunately, it's just the right thing, or maybe not. Maybe not, I don't know.
That well, you know, I even if that doesn't fit into the school assignments, I noticed there's a 3-minute film festival put on by Alice, the radio station.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And to be honest, I haven't listened to FM radio in ages. But I was like, 3 minutes?
Let's do it.
I can do that.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's do it. You'll see this first. Regular search for a movie. Multimedia.
Yeah. Watch out, people. We might be coming at you with a vlog.
Ooh, vlog.
I hate that word. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
What else you got?
I got, I don't know, do you have anything interesting, like cool, funny, interesting, whatever? Or I got one topic, but it's like, it's just kind of a bigger.
All right, well, let's, I got sort of a bigger one too, so why don't, let's hear your bigger one and see if it goes anywhere.
All right, well, mine was like, I was just thinking about the lottery.
Okay.
And I was thinking about college football. And I was thinking about charities and giving. And I was just kind of like, it's so weird that in the end, they are very similar things. And okay,
let's hear this out.
Do you want to guess why they're similar?
Okay, actually, I do want to guess. The lottery, college football, and charities.
Yes.
Let's see. Because everybody throws in, but only a couple of people get the payout. Nah?
I don't know about that.
No? Okay. Let's see. Because charity's not really in on that one. Because you can bet which ones will be around next year.
Well, okay, here's what I was thinking. All right. Like, what is the main purpose of all those three things? Like, charity, obviously, is charity. Or like to better, like some sort of like nonprofit, you know, make things better. But like, why? That's it, right? It's pretty easy, right, straightforward. Right. But the lottery, everybody says, oh, well, it goes to schools, right? I mean, it's like that's the whole point. At least the California State Lottery supposedly benefits the schools. But all you're doing is, you know, you buy a ticket for like $1 or whatever, it's $2. You scratch it and like, you know, it's whatever. And you're selling people on this huge, like, win. And you're basically, but I mean, if you had any sense, you would know that mathematically you have no chance of winning.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously people win, and you'll say, oh, people never told me to always told me not to play, and I won. But there's, like, for every one person that wins, there's millions and millions of people who have not won.
Yeah.
And there's billions of dollars people have spent on the lottery just wasting the money. Whereas they could have just given that dollar straight to the schools. You know, and avoided all the administrative costs, avoided
Get
all the
state. The middleman there.
Exactly, right? And it's like, do some real good. And in college football or college sports in general, like ones that are nationalized or televised nationally or whatever, it's like there was a story the other day or week about some coach who I think he was questioned about how much he made. You know, and it's like, you know, are you aware that you make more than any professor or any, like, administrator or the dean on this campus? You know, he might even make more than chancellor or whatever it was, the top person at the university. It's like, isn't that kind of weird? And he got really mad, I think. It's like, how dare you tell me how much I make? You know, it's like, I make this university millions of dollars. Because basically that's what the college, like, I mean, college football, one way of looking at it is that they just make a ton of revenue. Right? Yeah. I mean, and like, you kind of might wonder, why is it justified for a university to spend all this money building huge stadiums, building all these like events around the game day, producing all this media, producing all these television commercials, producing all this merchandise, when it's like basically that has nothing to do with the school. You know, and these people who are playing football, they don't necessarily even graduate at all. Like, you know, they just kind of go, they play for the school, and then they leave. They go to the NFL or whatever. You know, it's like, well, I think in the end, they look at it as a cash-making machine for the school. And, like, they take all the money they make from these games, from the ticket sales, from the revenue, from the TV, from whatever, and they hopefully put it back into the school.
Right.
Whereas, like, so it's basically a way of making money to get it back into the school for, like, the actual better cause. You know, and it's, like, it's weird that we have to, or even, you know, charities in general, like, if you donate to your local NPR station, your national public radio station, they'll always have these, like, drives, like, call in now. For a $15 donation, we'll give you a tote bag. You know, it's like, dude, I don't want a tote bag. You know, like, maybe some people do, but it must be that some people donate because they're getting the tote bag. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it, right? Or it must
be. Or if there's a little more incentive, then you'll do it.
Yeah, you know, or something like that, right? Tote bag or, like, magazine or, like, maybe you'll get, like, a mystery, like, you know, magnet or something like that. You know, whatever it is, and it's like, oh, I got to get that magnet. and it's kind of funny, you know?
I really need this magnet.
It's got, like, you know, Julia Child on it or somebody
it's
who...
It's got Julia Child. It's got Agatha Christie on it.
As you can tell, I haven't watched public television in a while.
I don't know, maybe. It's got the Antiques Roadshow
on Yeah, there you it's go. Like, it's got, like, an antique on it or something like that.
It's an antique magnet.
Know? Or it's got, like, Jim Lehrer on it or something like that, you know? Or Charlie Rose. Or all of them, for all I know. You know,
it's Garrison Keillor and Charlie Rose together at last.
Radio and TV combined.
Yeah.